Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
Welcome to the Country Music Talk podcast, where you can hear the biggest names in country music telling the stories behind their songs, sharing the latest news, and giving us all the gossip on life in Music City and beyond. I'm Baylen Leonard, and you can catch me on Absolute Radio Country. Listen on DAB Radio in the UK, on the free Rayo app, or you can just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country. Right, let's get on with the podcast.
This is the Country Music Talk podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
Ashley McBride, here I sit with a salad, no dressing on it, and I'm so excited because you said the next time you come to the UK, you're bringing me some ranch dressing. So could you pass it over, please?
You know, it didn't fit in the suitcase. Oh. But that's okay because we've fired off a text message and it will arrive tomorrow around lunch.
All right, I'll put this dry old salad aside and we will catch up. It's so good to see you. Welcome back to the UK.
Thank you. It's good to see you too.
It must feel like coming home a little bit.
It does. Finally, there are areas I recognize and things that because I'm so geographically displaced at all times, but I do recognize things when I'm here.
That must feel good. It's always nice to go to a place enough that you don't live in to be like, well, I know, we just take a right here.
Yeah, and to know the names of businesses that, like, if I need something, I know I can go to Boots, and I know, like, the first time I ever went to a Wagamama was here, so I know that if there's no other food anywhere else, you at least you know where that is and, you know, what's there.
Yeah, it's good to have those touchstones, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you have a Boots loyalty card?
I don't.
All right, I'm going to give you my number. When you shop at Boots, just use that. I'll get some vouchers.
Enjoy the points.
Thank you so much. So you have been talking a lot about changes in your life. And here, I want to say this. You always looked fabulous.
Thanks.
You look fabulous now.
Thank you.
You look, I'm not going to say more fabulous because I thought you always looked fabulous.
But I appreciate
it. From what you have been kind of saying and talking about, you feel more fabulous. Is that fair?
Oh, yeah. I'm back in fighting shape. Everything just feels good. My brain is less clouded with worrying all the time, am I standing in a way that is unflattering? I'm able to mentally free myself of that. And with the changes I've made, and with not drinking and boxing, I feel stronger in my structure.
Yeah.
So I worry about that
core
less.
Strength.
Yeah, I just worry about it less, and it's so nice.
That must feel really freeing.
It really is. When on days that the worry creeps in, I remember how crowded my brain is and how my entertainment style suffers from that. So when I can just free myself of it the way I feel now, I can just entertain.
Was that a societal thing? Was that an industry thing? Was that a personal thing? Was it kind of all of those that was putting these constraints on you and making you feel this way?
Kind of all of it.
Right.
And social media, of course, can be so brutal. And around the time I hosted the CMT Awards, was my first experience with fat shaming on a wide social media basis. And that is ugly.
Yeah.
That is just ugly.
It can be really ugly, social media in general. It can be great. It can be ugly.
But the fact that I felt very uncomfortable at the time.
Right.
So you're like, my biggest fear is that somebody's going to say something about it and then it happens.
Yeah. The thing is, though, even if you feel great and you feel super confident.
Oh, and then somebody makes a comment, you're like,
It can still bring you down. Yeah.
You're like, do I have weird knees? The guy said I have weird knees. Like, why? That's not even a thing. You're like, I think I have weird knees.
Here's the thing. Everybody has weird knees. There are so many people you can see, like, some people have like a grandma in their knees.
Yeah.
You can see a dog in their knees.
Yeah, cool
like
faces.
Knees. They're weird.
I know.
It's fine. We all have weird knees.
I know. So I started making changes. I wanted to feel better. So come hell or high water, I'm going to feel better. And then whatever you have to say about it can remain yours.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's not at the very front of my heart, at the very front of my face that I'm worried about it.
Well, congratulations on that. And
thank
also, I'm so happy you did it for you and not for any other reason.
Thank you
were perfect the way you are and you're perfect now.
Thank you.
So you're over here because of the Grand Ole Opry.
Oh, my goodness.
Live in London at the Royal Albert Hall. What a huge deal this is. So the Grand Ole Opry, which we'll talk about the institution of it in just a moment, but the fact that it's celebrating 100 years, the fact that they've never done anything outside of the United States before, and here they are in London, England, and what a lineup it is. I mean, it's you, it's our buddy Darius, Marty Stewart, Carly Pearce, Luke Combs. Had you, did you have to keep this under your hat for a while? Like, yes. How long did you know about this?
It was several months, probably two months, maybe three, yeah. that I knew it was going to happen. I did not know initially that I was going to be one of the members invited to perform. And but when the word comes to me that they're, for the first time in anyone's lifetime, the Opry will be doing a broadcast from Royal Albert Hall in London, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And then I find out you're one of the members that's invited to come and perform. And I guess the rumors had already been circulating that there was going to be a production of the Grand Ole Opry here. Mm-hmm. And people were asking me about it. And all I could say was, I have heard the same rumor. Who's going to be playing? I'm like, that I don't know.
It's so tricky, isn't it? Yeah. So tricky, because it's one of those things that you must want to shout it from the highest mountain.
Absolutely.
But you just can't.
It's wild that it's happening. It's wild that I'm a member of the Grand Ole Opry. It's wild that I get to, all of it is just so mind-blowing. I've never been inside Royal Albert Hall.
Have you not been in there?
No.
There's a lot of red velvet.
I've never gotten to take the tour, and now I'm going to get to go, and I'm going to get to sing. And it, not just go and just sing, but the longest-running radio show. Like, it, yeah. There's so much goodness. I don't know. Like, my eyes can't focus on one goodness.
Yeah, you can't take it all
it's
in.
It's too much.
Yeah, it's super special. Everything, every element of it is special. The Grand Ole Opry is special. The Royal Albert Hall is special. 100 years is special. Members like you coming
over. It's
amazing. Everything about it is wonderful. And we cannot wait for it. And I mean, I've heard that they might even be bringing over some of the circle.
Well, you know, back in 2010 when the 500-year flood hit Nashville, right?
Yes.
And then the rivers rose 19 feet over the course of 3 days. It swallowed the mall. I mean, it swallowed the general. I don't know where the General Jackson, the boat. I don't know where it ended up.
I thought you were going to say the General Dollar. And I was like, well, there'll be another one down the road.
And it swallowed so much of the city that when...
Like yeah, it was devastating.
It swallowed part, like the football stadium. It damaged part of the Ryman. And in the Opry House where the circle is, there's a line. When you go and tour, you can see they've marked it how high in the building, how high the water was. The water was still rising, and they went to the stage and removed the circle.
Sacred. It's a sacred
circle. To keep it safe.
Circle.
That is how people put themselves in harm's way to protect a sovereign circle of oak. That's how special the Opry is.
And you being a member, it's not just like you perform at the Grand Ole Opry. You are a member of the Grand Ole Opry. For people
yes.
who don't know, and we explain it a lot, but, you know, I think it's important to keep explaining it because we have more and more people coming into country music every day and learning about it and learning about its history. Being a member of the Grand Ole Opry, what does that mean?
Watching and listening to the Grand Ole Opry when you're growing up, these are the examples of what country music is, should be, and can be. And having that stamp of approval, that's sort of like, it's similar to like winning a Grammy, right? You know that you've been recognized as someone who is top of their game.
Mm.
When you become a member of the Grand Ole Opry, you are being told by that institution that you are part of the bricks that build and create and make country music what it is. And those that come behind you will see you as one of those steps on the path or one of those guiding lights. So for me to be a Grand Ole Opry member and Marty Stewart to be a Grand Ole Opry member, that means that while I will never fill those shoes, but it's saying I'm made of the same stuff.
Mm.
So while I may not be quite your caliber of performer, I am made of the same thing that you're made of, and I can be that caliber of performer.
And also, you look at all the different people who are, and there aren't that many members of the Grand Ole Opry,
no.
considering how long it's gone on. Lots of people perform at the Grand Ole Opry, although even that is a super special thing to happen in an artist's career. But in terms of being a member of the Grand Ole Opry, there aren't really that many. And the membership of the Grand Ole Opry, it also shows the kind of width and breadth of country music because there's
yes.
so many different styles and sounds and influences and types of performers that are members of the Grand Ole Opry. It's just a really great kind of starter kit, you know, a pinnacle starter kit for country music.
And if you came to Nashville, Tennessee, and you've never heard country music in your life, and you want to, I just want to experience country music, go to the Grand Ole Opry. You'll have a really nice representation. You'll have some icons, you'll have some up-and-comers, you'll have things that are on this fringe or that fringe of country music. It's a really great representation.
You have some square dancing, maybe?
at some absolute killer square dancing.
You might win a Farm Fresh frozen chicken.
You could.
We've talked about this
you
before.
You could eat your goo-goo cluster.
They've given away Farm Fresh frozen chickens when I was there before. And I was so thankful I didn't win one because carry-on luggage
because
and
Farm
Fresh.
Because how are you going to get it home?
Frozen chickens don't go hand in hand.
There's no fresh ones you get at home.
So that's the Grand Ole Opry. Live in London, Friday, the 26th of September. Ashley McBride, Darius Rucker, Marty Stewart, Carly Pierce, Luke Combs, Mumford & Sons, and Brayback. We will be there. Ashley will be there. If you're not there, it's fine. We're going to be bringing you all the joy of it here on Absolute Radio Country. And now let's talk about your music because you have just been knocking it out of the park lately.
Thanks.
So first, Ain't Enough Cowboy Songs.
Yes, thanks so much for spinning that.
I love it. We love it. The UK loves it. So, you know, you no need to thank me because if we didn't like it, we wouldn't play it as much as we like you.
And love that.
Love that song. And what I love about, well, there's so much to love about that song, but there's a little bit of, I mean, would we call it a yodel?
Oh, absolutely.
We'd call it a yodel,
absolutely.
Wouldn't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that came, we referenced Cattle Call, right? A song by Eddie Arnold. Mm. And that melody actually came from, I want to say it's a German melody.
Yeah, because yodeling kind of comes from
right.
the Alps and kind
right,
of over
that way.
Right, because
country music is an immigrant art form.
Yeah.
I mean, we are made of this and that, everything that
yeah.
came over in the Appalachian Mountains. And then as it moved, it would gather other things.
Yes.
So the cowboys back in the day using the yodel was, I mean, I grew up just knowing that was totally normal.
Yeah.
And I felt it would be rude and a little inauthentic to sing about how there aren't enough cowboy songs to cure how I feel without including a cattle call yodel.
And did you, because it's a real art form, the yodeling.
Oh, yeah, legit yodeling? I don't know if I could yeah. do it.
Well, did you kind of know how to do it already? Did you
yes.
teach yourself how to do it?
When I was little, I used to sing this song called Peach Pickin' Time in Georgia.
Okay, come on.
And it has a little yodel
Does
at the
it?
End of each chorus. Yeah. And I figured that out when I was a little one.
How's Peach Pickin' song go?
Because, well, I can't remember who the original artist is, but and he would say, well, it's peach picking time in Georgia and apple picking time in Tennessee, cotton picking time in Mississippi, everybody picks on me. It's probably like Gene Autry or somebody really cool. But
yeah.
then at the end he says, and way on down in Alabama, it's whatever picking time to me, yodelay, yodelay, yodelay. And so I had to learn what yodeling was, and that break that naturally happens
yeah.
in our voice, I was like, oh! It's supposed to be there. I thought I was doing something wrong when
right.
I was a kid because I'd be like, I get up to a certain note, it has to flip from my throat to my head voice and that, I don't know. And I was like, not only is that totally proper and necessary, it's a tool you can learn to use.
yeah, this is now something I have in my arsenal.
And there are some bluegrass songs and some songs from over in the Appalachian Mountains that include a lot of yodeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I've watched people do it really, really fast. And I'm pretty gifted at harmony singing, and so I would try to match it. There's this band called the Davison Brothers, and they're just nuts, and I love them. And they would do this really fast yodeling thing, and I just can't hang. I thought I could do it, and I could get like halfway through it, and I was like, no, I thought this was going to be a flex. Now I look silly.
But it must be fun to try.
Yeah, and at least be bold and brave enough to try it.
Absolutely. It's kind of It reminds me a little bit of, I mean, yodeling is a very specific thing, but like where I'm from in the Appalachian Mountains, calling hogs
yes.
has a similar kind of break in your voice when my grandmother would go out to feed the hogs, and she would do that, and it would just ring out through the whole valley.
Yeah, and my father calling his cows
mm.
even until just recent years, and he's like a big man-sized man
yeah.
in his cool hat and his vest and his, you know, his gun on his hip and all of that.
Yeah.
And my father... To hear him go, "Soo cow, soo," and he's like, "That's great! I never knew my father had such a beautiful falsetto."
Yeah, I know. I know. It's actually a beautiful thing. And of course, there are hog calling and cow calling competitions
I'm sure
that
are
super fun to watch on YouTube if you have a few minutes.
I would love to attend one.
I think you could win it.
Just enter as a novice and see what happens.
Exactly. And actually, I'm really interested in the UK, like our farming community that listen, like how do you call your, is it a similar thing? Like, let us know if that's how you call your livestock as well. And then we move on to Rattlesnake Preacher, which I cannot get enough of. This was a fan favorite.
Yes.
For ages.
Ages.
You sang it at your shows. Everybody loved it. Then everybody would go home and be like, I'm going to listen to that Rattlesnake Preacher. Oh, can't listen to that Rattlesnake Preacher. And then you were like, hey, I'm going to release this. Now, I want to talk about this a little bit because, so my grandfather was a Church of God preaching man. And he wasn't a Rattlesnake Preacher.
Right.
But he did speak in tongues and was kind of.
Right.
But he had friends who were literal rattlesnake
handlers.
Yes, snake handling preachers, which was always very frightening. I mean, it's hard to explain to an outsider, isn't it, what that actually is?
Yeah, because when you hear somebody say, well, we go to a church and then they bring snakes out, and then because we're so faithful, they won't hurt us, that person that you're telling that to, they think you're drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Because that sounds like drunk people behavior.
Because that sounds crazy.
It does. Yeah, that sounds nuts.
Yes.
And my dad, when I was raised in the Church of Christ, so
right.
We had no snakes.
Okay.
But my dad was the fire and brimstone fella.
Mm.
What some people would call a revival in our church style, they called those a meeting.
Okay, yeah.
When you scare the pants off of everyone.
As a kid, horrifying.
Right, and then they're like, and all souls were converted that day. And that's that was the kind of house I grew up in, too, not only the church that I attended.
Yeah.
So my buddy Randall, writing Rattlesnake Preacher, when we became friends, I said, you wrote a song about my life. You wrote a song about what it's like to look at being raised that way and be proud of the gifts that it gave you and also really cautious of the things you know it's capable of and cognizant of the things that it robbed you of.
Did it, 'cause for me, I grew up in that as well. It kind of made me, well, maybe turn away from religion is too harsh a way to say it, but it certainly made
me. Makes you examine it.
And once I got older and kind of started living my own life and having my own kind of thoughts about how things work in the world and how to treat people or what's right and what's wrong, made me really kind of go, well, hold on a minute.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I would not classify myself as religious. I'd classify myself as spiritual
I'm with you.
It was a real, I think it's fair to say it was a real struggle, you know, with like accepting who I was or accepting other people.
Well, because
with these things I was brought up with.
That brand of transferring knowledge and passion is so good at, I guess the word is indoctrinating, but it is so good at successfully programming the human mind to get the prescribed behaviors that you're trying to get from that group of people that when we start to examine it as we get older, we make choices and then we go, am I making that choice because that's my choice? Or was I programmed to it? But that's what therapy's for.
Yes, I know.
Right?
I know.
We have the thought of, is this the way I want to behave? Is this the woman I want to be? And then we examine it and we just pull out the pieces, you know, and try to untangle it.
I'd much rather examine it than not, though.
Absolutely.
You know?
I would rather be aware and even frustrated with myself on the times that I need to be or have to look back and be. Than be blissfully ignorant.
Yes,
about the things that I'm doing and saying,
or just completely blindly accepting without questioning.
Right, because I was trained to blindly accept and hang on a minute. I was the only child of six children that said, "Hang on a minute."
Really?
And then I found out later, though, that my brother was also that way.
In fact,
he was like, "Not hang on a minute." He was like, "Deuces." I'm not buying it.
Well, you know, preachers' kids have a reputation for a reason, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's a reason that preachers' kids don't go to church.
So I know you're just here now, and, you know, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves.
We're
living in the moment.
We're
finding joy in the present. However, we always want to know when you're coming back, and we know how much you love it. And so what are the plans there? Are there plans?
Yeah, remember back during the Great Separation when we didn't get to come over, and then I was devastated?
Yes.
And then
I was equally devastated.
As soon as we got to come back, I think we came in like January of the next year. So then it felt really, really long because I'm used to being here in March or October or both.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to be back. And there are things that are in the works similar to my not knowing who was performing at the Opry.
Okay.
There's only certain things I can say, but I am very excited to get back.
Okay, fine. It is
in the works.
It feels like you've told me something without telling me something.
That's
you've
right.
given me enough to hang on to.
Right.
And I'll take it. So, anything new in the pipeline music-wise that you can't tell us about
as
well?
Yeah, I would love to not tell you about it. A few years ago, I was part of this project that Dan Auerbach was producing, and it was a John Anderson tribute.
He's a hot property, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I go, and I'm doing Straight Tequila Night on the John Anderson project. The band leader in the studio that day is John Osborne.
Oh, lovely.
So up to now, the only time I've ever really been around John was in passing at shows. And I had opened some shows for him and TJ, just me and a guitar, really early in my journey. And I loved the way John kind of ran that session. So that makes me think, I should write some songs with John Osborne. So fast forward, we write a song with Lee Miller called Whiskey and Country Music. I adore the song. And I liked the way John thinks of things. So then my friends and I wrote this silly bunch of songs for a fictional town called Lindyville. Well, then I find out I get to make it a record. So then I thought, well, I've been in the studio with John and I've written with John. I should ask John to produce Lindyville. And it happens to be John's first time producing a record. We get a Grammy nomination. So I keep getting these signs that you're doing the right thing, you're doing the right thing, you're doing the right thing. Baylin, who is the producer on Rattlesnake Preacher?
Is it John
Osborne? It is John Osborne. And I'm so excited. We've been in the studio for a bit. It's been a different pace because we've been touring and playing the entire time instead of grabbing the songs and trying to get everything done in 13 days or whatever. So it has been a really different pace and a lot of fun.
And also, he's just good people. And isn't it nice to work with good people?
He is. And there are a couple of things that I wasn't sure as the artist, you know, like how the vision I have for the song or whatever. There were some things like that still hasn't like landed to me. And John is such the right hands to place something that I wasn't completely sure about yet. That's the right hands for that. That's the right ears for that and the right brain for that. And the way he approaches it might be a completely different way than I would have approached it.
Which is great, right? It makes you think about it differently.
Right. When you get the result and you go, is that my voice? That's my voice.
I sound good.
Yeah. And I literally texted him the other day and said, I'm listening in headphones for the first time to this mix that I've got. That the voice that I hear on the record sounds like the voice that I hear when it's coming out of my face. How did we do that? And he said, oh, the trick is gifted singers. That's what it is. We just use a gifted singer. And I said, no, how did you capture that? And he said, I used a tube mic instead of a solid state mic. Like there's no magic to that. It's just a different kind of microphone that grabs more of the warmth in your voice and cuts out less of the frequencies. And I was like, oh.
It sounds like a great partnership. And it sounds like an enduring partnership as well.
When I look back and think about it in the timeline that I just described, if I'm watching a movie about it, We get to live happily ever after making records.
Speaking of movies, I would love a movie or a series about Lindyville.
I would too.
Absolutely binge watch.
I would love to see that, and I would hope that someday those songs will find a home, at least inspiring a TV show.
Thank you for coming to see us again in the UK, and thanks for talking to us. You're just a joyful, lovely person, and it's so great that you take the time to have a chat with us every time you come. So thank you.
I will continue to come and have a chat as long as you'll have me.
And I guess I'll just go back to my dry salad now.
I'm so sorry about the ranch thing. I completely dropped the ball.
It's cool. You're busy. Thanks, Ashley.
The Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
An in-depth look behind the scenes at the world of country music.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll have another dropping soon for y'all, so don't forget to keep it country.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.